Block. Joining us now in studio, as she does every Wednesday at this time, is Northfield's Mayor, Rhonda Paldel. Mayor, thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be here. It's a bright, sunshiny day again.
Spring is here.
Wow, three? Okay, yesterday didn't quite count. It was a little gray, but we're getting there. We'll have three in a row someday here.
No spring at all. We just are going right into a summer this year. You brought with you a couple of members of the Ice Arena Advisory Board, or Task Force, whichever you would like to call it, kind of the same thing. But I'm going to start with you. Why don't you tell us, let's go back to the beginning here. How long has this been going on?
Yeah, well, this was really an advisory board that Mayor Dana Graham put together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the timing of when it was put together was really important. I think that as a city, right, we'd taking care of the police station. We've taken care of the library. We are on the cusp of getting that fire station taken care of. So the Ice Arena, really, the current Ice Arena is really the last city building that really needs to be updated in some sort of major way. And so the Ice Arena Advisory Board has been really had some great people working on it to bring forward a recommendation to the council. And after 16 months of deliberation and vetting, we are finally here. And so we're bringing this forward to the council, to the community. And really, it's about a community arena, not an ice arena, because there really are a lot of multiple users that utilize the arena or could use it in a much more strategic way to bring in increased tourism, sports tourism. The Home and Garden Show was just held there. We've got the Hospital Auxiliary Book Fair that's being held there currently. And so all of these opportunities could be expanded under this new proposal that's coming forward. So it's just really an exciting time. It's a great proposal. I think it's the timing of it is it's good, it's right, and a lot of people are really coming together to try to find a way that this can strategically work and move forward, including our neighboring community, the city of Dundas. So.
All right. And we're going to talk to the members that came in today. We have the vice chair of the task force, Todd Bornhauser, with us, also known as the president of the Northfield Chamber of Commerce. Todd, thanks so much for coming in.
Jeff, thanks for having me here. I just would like to say this is a Chamber of Commerce day. We take credit for days like this.
It's a chamber day. Chris Canelli is joining us as well, a board member of the task force, of the advisory board, and also, of course, owner of Northfield Construction.
Yes. Chris, thanks for having us. Great to be here.
You've got to be happy that the weather's getting nice, too.
Oh, yes, we needed it. It was a rough go here, that's for sure.
All right. Let's talk about the beginning here. Let's go back to the start. What was your charge? What were you charged with as a task force, as an advisory board when you first started? And kind of walk us through the process and some of the things that you found.
You know, I wish Brent Reese was here because he always talks about what that mission statement task force was.
And Brent was the chair.
And Brent was the chair.
Yes.
So, but really it was kind of to look at the existing facilities and then look at options that might be available and to give a recommendation to the city council of what this task force felt would be in the best interest of the community.
Let's talk about the current arena that we have, and Chris, maybe you can handle this since you're a builder, you're familiar with structures and stuff. The findings were probably not real favorable for that building, I'm guessing. But give us an idea of what you're looking at with that current building.
Sure. There was an outside consultant that came in and looked at the building and really how it functions currently. So there's a lot of issues with that current building, everything from the ice sheet itself being not regulation size. It's shorter than regulation. Locker rooms, as we all know who use that arena, are very, very, very challenged. We can barely get a high school team into three locker rooms. They're spread out all over. The flow of the current arena, where everyone enters and where the concessions are located, and just the age and actual condition of the facility are so dire that it really is in tough, tough shape.
Now, reconditioning that current arena, that was one of the things that you looked at. Does that seem in any way feasible at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's feasible. I look at it kind of from the business standpoint of it, and I kind of think it's putting good money after bad to put any money into that arena with all the issues that make it substandard, and the fact that an expansion or doing anything to it does not get you a second sheet, does not alleviate the parking problem, and doesn't really solve the overall issue of the age of the building and condition, really makes it not a good business choice to proceed with.
All right. Let's talk about the potential of a new arena. At that point, was that the first, I guess, decision that you made? And once again, you're an advisor. Your job, your role is to advise. So when I say decision, it's not actually your decision. That does still belong to the city council. Maybe ultimately the citizens as well. But is that step one?
Yeah, step one was really that review of the existing arena, and then we did an ice market study as well, so mm-hmm. to determine what were the uses of the ice, how much more could be utilized, what was the capacity that you could have for ice time, and then that will help drive the decision on what you need from a building standpoint. If you need one sheet is fine. If you need a second sheet, do you need some out of a multi-purpose or community arena that can serve a couple different uses as well? And then there was an economic impact study that was analysis that was done as well. So what is the impact of having a sheet of ice here versus two sheets? And what can be generated from an economic standpoint if you have up to snuff or facilities that are desirable for bringing in tournaments and having other uses. And then after that point, you kind of look at some options that were available, whether it was just maintaining the existing arena, whether it was an addition to the existing arena that Chris talked a little bit about, and it limits some of the limits there. Partnering with St. Olaf on building a new arena up at that facility, up at their campus, and then whether it was building a new one or two sheet facility. So there was a quite variety of options that kind of went through after some of those studies were done, and then you could go back and look at the data.
Let's talk a little bit about the capacity study. I talk to a lot of hockey parents, and they tell stories of getting the driving the kids at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to Shattuck to get a little ice time in, because there's nothing available in Northfield. And that story has been echoed, could be echoed throughout the area, really. There's a number of cities that have the same problem. When you look at what the capacity is, are you looking at just Northfield with, without the colleges? Are you looking at other communities potentially renting time from us as far as the feasibility goes?
Yeah, I think you looked at all of those things. You looked at what currently the both the high school and the hockey association are using, and then the constraints that they had. So what additional ice time, if you had an additional sheet, how much more time would they be able to absorb and had desire for? And then at that point in time, you can then say, all right, now we have some additional hours that will be available out there. And are there other partners or other associations, other communities that could pick up that ice time as well? So you look at all of those things. The first driver has to be kind of internal. What can you do and what can you afford internally from the school district and the hockey association and the skating school as well? So there's a numerous partners there that you can look at what's the maximum they need, and then you can move forward.
You talk about the economic impact. We're going to go on to that now. I've talked to a lot of hockey parents that say, we go up to Duluth once a year, and that's a $500, $600, $800 weekend. Then we travel down for the other kids down to lacrosse. So there's definitely money to be involved in that. But how much and how do you get it? And how does that figure in the economic impact to the study?
Yeah, I think the biggest part of the economic impact was looking at that second sheet of ice, because that really allows you the capacity to host tournaments and to have two tournaments going on or a 16-team bracket over a weekend, which currently we do not have the ability to do. We only host about one, maybe two tournaments a year here in town right now, and we think we could get up to 12 to 16 during that time period if we had two sheets. So in the study, they looked at a potential economic benefit to the city and the community of $1.3 to $1.8 million from hosting those tournaments in the second sheet. So that's quite a big economic driver.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the money. It all sounds good, but it's not a cheap proposition in the 21st century. What are you looking at as far as a price tag would go for this? I know that you presented a few options to the city. Let's talk dollars and cents here. How much is this, or how much will the options cost?
Sure. You know, that if you want to just maintain the existing community arena, that had a cost factor of about $1.3 million, and that was just kind of putting Band-Aids on. It's no really additions. It's no expansion. It's taking what you have right now and just making it continue to try to survive until it falls apart.
And if memory serves, we did that not all that long ago, within the last maybe decade or so.
Yeah, there was money that was spent that we had to put a new ice system into the building, mm-hmm. and refrigeration units. So there have been some Band-Aids that have been put on, but you're running a course here at some point in time that the complete refrigeration unit is going to need to be replaced, and so this will kind of get that there. The addition to the existing community arena was about $7 million. That added some new locker rooms, took care of some other ice issues, but the main problem with that is you eat up any available land that might be available for a second sheet mm-hmm. of ice. And the other thing is those stands are extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. My parents that would come in and try to watch our kids playing and trying to manage to get up and down and be able to sit down. It's an accident that's just waiting to happen. It's not built for really getting people in and out in, mm-hmm. in a safe and way. So we've that $7 million that you spend gets you some things, but it limits what you can do, and it doesn't take care of a lot of other issues. So mm-hmm. Money after a bad project, as Chris said. And then when we looked at partnering with St. Olaf and building a new arena that connected to their expansion. Became $17.2 million, which actually is even more money than if we just went out and built a one-sheet arena at $15.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, there needed to be road extensions that were brought into St. Olaf to make this work. They'll have some requirements building materials and some other things that they'll need to do to make sure that it complements what they're doing on campus right now. And then the second sheet is $21.2 million. So to add a second sheet of ice is really about $5.5 million, and so additional money. And so if you're going to build one, it makes sense. There's economy of scales of doing the second sheet at the same time.
Now, as far as financing this, did you come up with some financing options for that? Who's going to pay for it? Are we going to use private, public funds? Is that something that you pass on to the council, let them figure it out? What are the options there?
Yeah, so the committee's recommendation, because this is a community recreational project, was to have a half-cent sales tax go into place for the community that would fund this, of which about 70% of the revenue from that would fund the community arena, and the other would go to other recreational projects in the arena. So that pays for, I think it was roughly 30% of the overall project. The other 50%, or just under 50%, would be coming from a tax referendum. Both the half-cent sales tax and the property tax referendum, would go to a vote to the voters in November if this moves forward. And then the remaining 20% would be funded by grants private donations, other funding out there in the community to make sure we can get to that second sheet. Really how we're trying to pitch it is that whole second sheet is funded by private donations, grants, and other fundraising in the community.
All right. We're just about out of time, but I want to go back to the mayor here and talk about the process. What do we do now? We've got this, they've done their due diligence over the course of the last couple of years. It's up to the council now to move it or not move it or do whatever. Where are you going with this?
Yeah, well, and it's on our agenda. It's on the council's agenda coming up this coming Tuesday. So what's before the council will be possible motion authorizing staff to prepare a half-cent sales tax question and property tax referendum question related to a two-sheet community arena for the November vote. So part of the reason why we are moving forward really steadily and purposely is that we have some time constraints where we need to get this before both the Dundas City Council, the Northfield City Council, prepare language. There's a deadline that the language needs to be prepared for by August, I believe. And so it's really important to make sure that we've got adequate time here to get the questions before two different cities, before the council, and give them the opportunity to move it forward and give the community an opportunity to vote it.
All right. Any other final thoughts? Anything that we haven't covered yet?
No, you know, as having three kids that have gone through the hockey program, both through the association and playing high school hockey, it's been some great experiences there. You know, my personal opinion is this probably is one of the worst arenas that exists in the state of Minnesota. And I've traveled a lot. When we laugh about the economic impact of it, you have three kids playing hockey and you're doing two tournaments. You know, there were six weekends that either my wife Diane or I were up with one of the kids. And yeah, you're spending money on hotel rooms, you're spending money eating in restaurants, you're doing shopping. And the beauty here is we have probably one of the finest communities that is available from a tourism standpoint. It would be very desirable for existing hockey teams and associations to come down and play here. They'd love to do that, but it's not even a choice or an option right now because of the status of the arena and how bad it is. Mm-hmm. So, if we're looking for an economic driver, yeah, it's a large amount of money. We got to look at it as you're buying an asset. You know, the hockey arena should be here for another 100 years. And the real goal here is to get it built, and then the operating costs get paid by the fees and that's generated with it. So it's really just the asset that has to be paid by the community.
All right, thank you all for coming in. We certainly appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you again maybe a little bit closer to about this, a little bit closer to referendum day if it in fact does come around.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Yes,
thanks Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell, along with ICE Arena Task Force members Todd Bornhauser and Chris Canelli. Terry back in with local news in just a moment or so. Here is the latest from around the state with the Minnesota News Network.
Sexually transmitted disease hit an all-time high in Minnesota last year. That's prompting health officials.